Welcome to First Baptist Church. I'm the substitute teacher. My name is Rich Robison. I'm an American Baptist pastor who has worked in a number of interim settings over the years and am privileged to be called upon to come and to fill in the pulpit here for now while Martha is on her leave of absence. So I'm thankful for this opportunity for a couple of reasons. One is simply to be back in the pulpit, but two, some of you know that this is the first church I served out of seminary 35 years ago, that I was called here to be the associate pastor and was here from 1980 to 83 when my family was quite young. I think as we moved in, my oldest daughter was 1 month old. She's now 30. And then we have a second daughter who lives at home with us, who's in her mid-30s. And my youngest son, who we adopted after we left Malden, is also in his young 30s and living at home with us as well. They both have special needs. So what that's done for my career is it turned a little different direction, and for most of my career now, I'm the executive director of an organization known as the Federation for Children with Special Needs, which is an organization that supports families of kids who have special needs issues. We operate statewide, although we're located in Boston. So my day job keeps me busy, and when I can, I enjoy being in leadership as we are here today. So thank you for inviting me and for welcoming me, and we'll do our best to do just what Martha does the best possible way. There are several announcements today. One was to welcome you, which I've done. The next is to invite you to coffee hour, but to tell you there's a change in location. We're going to be a kitchen group today. So the back is being set up, Judson Chapel is being set up for the afternoon event, so we invite you to join in the kitchen for your coffee and fellowship. This afternoon at 5 o'clock is the choir festival here in this sanctuary, and we hope that you will plan to come and bring friends and neighbors. There is plenty of room to welcome them, and it will be a glorious occasion. I think Richard told me this is the 72nd. Is that right? 72nd time that they've done this choir fest. So we hope you'll come and keep the tradition alive. Next Sunday is Christmas Sunday, the Sunday before Christmas. And you'll have note that the green form in your bulletin is there to remind you, if you're going to provide flowers, that today is the day. You must do that. And they will be on display here as part of the worship next Sunday. It's also a great day to invite family and friends to come and be with you in worship. We'll have a glorious service of celebration. Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. We hope that you also will make a point of coming, bringing those who are near and dear to you. We won't keep you too long, but it'll be a way of really lifting your spirits and focusing on the true meaning of Christmas. Two other announcements that were handed to me is that on Thursday this week at 3 o'clock, they're going to start setting up the parlor for our winter services. And if anyone's available to assist, you would be welcomed to bring your supervisory skills so that you can point where the chairs are supposed to go. And then also on Friday is the feeding ministry. So if you have an opportunity to participate in that, we will be grateful. Are there other announcements that need to be made at this time? Hearing and seeing none, welcome to worship. Hear the invitation of the prophet Isaiah. Come, let us go up to God's holy mountain, that we might learn to walk in God's ways. For God will judge between the nations and shall decide for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Oh, let us come before God. Let us learn God's ways. Please join me in the responsive call to worship. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of one who brings good tidings. Who publishes salvation.
Who says to God's people, your God reigns.
Lord, we give you our thanks and praise. Let us worship God. The hymn is 192, Angels from the Realms of Glory. Let us join together in prayer. O God, this day, like shepherds out in the field, we have come to discover you. We honor those shepherds whose love and care for sheep have become the example of your love for us. Remember that they were the first witnesses of the Savior's birth. And we celebrate in honor of all good shepherds and especially the good shepherd Jesus the Christ. He is the one that empowers our lives to be filled with love, that in loving others we might bear witness to your love. O God, we give you thanks and worship you this day. Accept our spirits, accept our prayers, accept us as we pray together in the manner you taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to invite anyone who is young of heart to come and join me for a moment. And if there are no volunteers, you are all now declared young of heart. And I will come to you. We want to embarrass anyone except all of us. So I was going to play a little game with the children this day and say, what's missing? What's missing from the front? Most everything. No. If you look at the creche in particular, what's not there yet? The Holy Family. What else is missing? The wise men. What's been added? Can you see? We have a shepherd. The shepherd is out there in the field, not quite sure where he's going or why he's there. Ever feel like that? Wandering in the wilderness? We will be adding the missing pieces before Christmas comes. On Christmas Eve, of course, the Holy Family will join us. That will be nice of them to attend. And we will have wise men. I have a feeling the wise men might get there ahead of them, even though biblically that doesn't really work well. But the wise men will be here. The shepherds will be here. The angels will be here. And hopefully all of you, in spirit, in truth, to proclaim that this is the season, the coming of our Lord. Thanks be to God for God's presence in our lives. Let us pray together. We need you, O God. Sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we are wandering. We are unsure as to why and how. And then, when least we expect it, we see your star. We hear your voice. We feel the presence of your love. And we begin to warm all over again. That yes, there is hope. The light pierces the darkness. And we will come and worship you at the manger. Bless us in this season of preparation. For we ask it through Christ. Now, is there someone that wants to help me light the candle today? I know we had an expert last week. Want to come and help? The way not to get asked to do something is do it poorly. And when you do it well, you get asked again. So, good morning. My name is Rich. Hi, Naomi. Do I know your family? Possibly. I know Betty and Jim Hickey, and I know many of their children and grandchildren. Would you like to light the third candle for us today? Thank you very, very much.
Light the
hope you enjoy that little carol. I certainly do, and I'll have you know that I learned it when I came to this church, and I've now worked in 10 different churches around Massachusetts, and I've taken it to each of those churches and introduced it. And when I go back there, they're still using it too. So very, very happy to be singing with you. We come to our time of prayer, a time for us to consider the needs of the people of our community here, of our world, of the church, whatever within your area of celebration and concern. Are there those things to be shared? Judy? So Gloria Prisio Gates has passed away, and her service was last Thursday. So Judy, were you in attendance? You were representing our congregation. And I remember Gloria from days past as well. Thank you. Do we have one up? Doreen? Anne Giovanni has passed away. I missed the last part, sorry. Private service tomorrow. We'll keep her in our prayers. Other concerns? Mark?
Celebration.
A celebration, yes. Over the top with the pennies program. Yay. Excellent. And who's going to roll them? That's wonderful. Congratulations to all of you. Others? Yes, please. Pray for Pastor Martha, but of course. And where's Dave? Please, would you bring us up to date on Pastor Martha?
Last we heard, we spoke to her Saturday, and she was doing very well. When we picked her up from the hospital on Tuesday morning, trust me, you would never have known she was in for surgery. She looked wonderful, working, walking, moving about, and in good spirits. She said that the doctors were very happy with the way surgery went and that they were very optimistic for her full recovery.
That's great news. God is good. Might we join our hearts and minds together in prayer? Let us pray. Loving God, we pause but for these few moments, recognizing how precious time is, recognizing that so much of our world now moves in nanoseconds, and that too many things happen simultaneously for us to even comprehend. And so it is a gift that we are able to receive this day by coming, pausing, reflecting, praying, being present to you and before you, connecting to a community of believers who help us sustain our faith, particularly in those times when we are uncertain or unsure. We seek your blessings this day. We ask you to kindle in us a small voice of hope that pierces through the darkness like light, that cuts through all of the messages of fear and anguish and confusion that fill our airwaves, reminding us what is true, what is just, and what is good. We are grateful for this place of worship that has stood here so long and inspired so many generations of families. We are grateful for our pastoral leader, for Pastor Martha. We pray for her as she attends to her needs. We are grateful for successful surgery. And as she waits in recuperation, we pray for her to regain strength and healing and wholeness. We give thanks for those who have served and who have passed. Today especially we pray and thank you for Gloria and for Anne. For others on our hearts who we recall this day, and especially in this season, somehow the ones we love the most are the ones we miss the most in seasons such as this. We ask you to be present to us and to them, caring and loving. We celebrate our efforts at coming together to do for others what you would have us do. And today it happens to be celebrating the pennies that have come in the jars. The word is over the top. What joy that brings us and must bring you, O God. Fill our hearts with hope, with peace, with patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control, all of the gifts of the Spirit, and give us the power that we need to take each day one step at a time as your servants, as those dedicated to you. Be present while we offer ourselves unto you, lift these things to your throne, O loving God, praying in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Hear our prayers. Amen. With grateful hearts, we now come to receive our offerings and dedicate ourselves unto God. Let us join together in prayer. Accept these gifts, O God, for we give them from our hearts. Give us strength and hope for each new day. We pray it through Christ. Amen. For these gifts and all that they represent, hard work, dedication, generosity, we dedicate them unto you, O God. Bless us through Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Today's scriptures are from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7, and Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. The people who walked in darkness had seen a great light. They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them. You have given them great joy, Lord. You have made them happy. They rejoice in what you have done, as people rejoice when they harvest a grain or when they divide captured wealth. For you have broken the yoke that burdened and the rod that beat their shoulders. You have defeated the nation that oppressed and exploited your people. Just as you defeated the army of the Midian long ago, the boots of the invading army and all their blood-stained clothing will be destroyed by fire. A child is born to us, and he will be our ruler. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. His royal power will continue to grow. His kingdom will always be at peace. He will rule as King David's successor, basing his power on right and justice from now until the end of time. The Lord Almighty is determined to do all this. And now from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 16. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone on them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Savior is born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angels singing praises to God. "Glory be to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them back into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in the manger. These are the words of the Lord.
All of the boots of the tramping warriors and their garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born, a son has been given. Those are the words of the prophet. And I remember very easily the part that says, "For a child has been born to us, a son given to us." But I neglect that first part. All of the boots, the tramping warriors, and the garments rolled in blood shall be burned and done away with forever. A word that's almost synonymous with Christmas, I think, is peace. Peace on earth, goodwill to all people. The Prince of Peace has been born to humankind. The angels sang out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace." This is the message proclaimed annually, year after year, as our world still struggles with violence and conflict and war. And we know there's terrible toll that is paid when war breaks out. And we've seen it in our own times. Millions have been killed in the Middle East. Millions, 4 million people homeless in the Middle East in the last 15 years. Others have died defending freedom. The world struggles, and we live in fear. I would say, turn on the TV if you don't believe me. And then at the same time, I'm going to say to you, don't turn on the TV. Because it will literally scare the daylights out of you. And then we come as a small group of people and say, but God is bringing peace to our world. How can we reconcile this tension? What do we remember? We recently celebrated Pearl Harbor Day. We think about the times and the places that our people, our families have been. We know the prices that have been paid, and sometimes they have been paid even by our own flesh and blood. And yet, we try to have faith. A call for peace in Jesus' own day. And the prophets said, all of this in the midst of tramping warriors and garments rolled in blood. The tension was then, and it is now. The message was then, and it is now. Peace to all of humankind that we cannot achieve on our own. So study it with me for a moment. Peace. We use that word a lot, do we not? It has different shades of meaning. The British Prime Minister Chamberlain, back prior to World War II, actually said, we shall have peace in our own time. Way back, Ben Franklin, 1773, he stated, there was never a good war, nor a bad peace. The philosopher, Thomas A. Kempis, he took a little different tact. First, keep peace within yourself, inner peace, that you can bring peace to others. So we see peace as absence of conflict, peace as absence of war, peace as something that happens within and restores our soul. You go to the old tombstones around New England, and what do they have on them? But rest in peace. I often hear from very stressed parents in my other job who are struggling with students with challenges. And once in a while, you might hear one of those parents say something like, I just want to say to them, will you just leave me in peace? Some of us have been there as well. And then the scripture invokes these words, now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You can't even understand exactly what's happening when you bring God's peace to our lives. They mean different things, and yet we seem to understand them, don't we? The Hebrew word for peace was shalom, wellness, wholeness, health, and harmony. The hope of peace captures our deepest desires in a season like this. We can call it a Christmas hope. The Prince of Peace coming into our world, into our lives on that first Christmas Eve. Shalom. Peace, health, wholeness, harmony. We still have that ideal. Just don't turn on the TV because they will undermine it for you. It's a gift from from God, this notion of peace. And at the same time, it's a challenge, I believe, that God puts before us to live and proclaim it in all that we say and do. It's a hope, it's a promise, it's a challenge. A baby born in Bethlehem, a promise for all time. And we live in that tension, don't we? We want to proclaim it. We want to walk down the streets and just let it out. And then we're afraid. And we hold back. One of the joys of my daughter, Amy, who happens to have Down syndrome, is that she's extremely gregarious and joyful. Yesterday, we had the opportunity to be at a special event at the Boston Ballet and to participate in the Nutcracker, and then a reception following at the Ritz-Carlton, don't you know? That's not where I usually hang out. However, Amy, in her way, was so thrilled with the sights and the sounds of the show and the sights and the sounds of Christmas in the City that as we moved through the hotel lobby, every person she saw, "Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! Isn't it beautiful?" She was filled with awe and wonder and no inhibition whatsoever. And because she brings that gift to all that she does, it never offends anybody. She just exudes and lives it. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to all. I thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of a Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to all. But in despair, I bowed my head. "There is no peace on earth," I said, "for hate is strong. It mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to all." But then pealed the bells more loud and deep. "God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to all. Till ringing and singing is on its way, and the world revolves from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to all." That third verse, "In despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth," I said. "Hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth." But then there is Christmas. We light the candle. First one, then two, then three, then four. And the light grows stronger each time. Until finally on Christmas Eve, we light the Christ candle, proclaiming that light has overcome the darkness. It's difficult at this time of year to try to be so hopeful. We have wounds. We have disappointments. We have conflicts. Human nature has taken over some of our best intentions. And we feel defeated. And we believe, though, still that small voice that there is a better way. We don't fully understand it. We don't know what it can quite be. Perhaps out of hopelessness, then, we proclaim this Christmas message, maybe because we've always done it, maybe because we've read about it again, maybe we saw it in the prophets or the gospel, and we become reminded that God, in human form, came as an innocent child and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and grew to proclaim the most powerful of all powers, the power of God's love and the promise of shalom, of wholeness and harmony and peace, a promise that has come and is not yet fulfilled, but one in which we believe the victory has ultimately been won. And our defeatist attitudes start to get filled with a little glimmer of hope. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among humankind with whom God is pleased. God is pleased with humankind? Has God not looked at us lately? How can you be pleased, O God, except the price has been paid and the victory has been won, and it is heralded by the voices of those angels summed up in a single word, peace. Glory to God in the highest. God is the Savior. We believe that God has made peace with the world through the blood of the cross. We speak of peace. We speak of the heart of the Christmas message. And the more we speak of it, the less inhibited we might become, and we'll learn from those who feel uninhibited about simply saying, joy to the world. The Lord has come. For God is alive. God is all-wise. God is the all-knowing one. God has a greater plan for our humanity. It supersedes our failings and our violence. It redeems our sinfulness. We can stand tall as God's people, confront the evil around us that causes us despair and causes us to feel defeated, and allows us to grab onto that hope, that promise of harmony, and proclaim, the Prince of Peace has come. Wolves and sheep will live together in peace, the Bible tells us. The leopards will lie down with young goats. Calves and lion cubs will feed together, and little children will take care of them safely. Cows and bears will eat together, and their calves and cubs will lie down in peace. Even a baby will not be harmed if it plays near a poisonous snake. They will not hurt nor destroy my holy mountain. And the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, even as the water covers the sea. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. And of course, Jesus said to us, peace is what I leave with you. It is not my own peace that I give to you. I do not give it as the world gives it. But do not be afraid. Do not be worried. Do not be upset. For I is the implication, Jesus said, and the Prince of Peace. Our relationship with God gives us the strength to have a glimmer of hope in a world that is filled with despair. We draw close to God, and it allows us to draw close to one another. We remember Jesus' teaching about love. It allows us to love one another. We fall on our knees before the manger stall. And our hearts are filled with the same peace of the angels and the shepherds and all who came to witness and to follow that star. And our minds and our hearts can open to each other. And so we come to worship in this time of year and welcome the Prince of Peace. In our strongest moments, we can display our faith. In our weakest and possibly most cynical and afraid moments, we might even be tempted to deny there's any truth to it. But then our fear turns to hope. And we hear the songs playing over the radio or in the stores. And suddenly those familiar tunes dance in our heads and our hearts. And we are tempted. We are tempted once again to say, well, maybe God's got something here. Away in a manger. The first Noel. Maybe God's done something good that has changed our world and we can believe. An author by the name of Ann Weems wrote a poem called Peace on Earth. Peace on earth, goodwill to all. The song came out like one loud hosanna, hurled through the earth's darkness, lighting the Bethlehem sky. And sometimes I hear it now. It means a baby in a manger. It means a time of year. A cozy feeling. A few coins in the Salvation Army bucket. Oh, it doesn't mean much. Then it's gone. Thrown out like the tinsel on the tree. But where did the angel's song go? Who hushed the alleluias? Was it death and war and disease and poverty? Was it darkness and chaos and famine and plague? Who brought violence and took away the sweet plucking of the heavenly harps? Who brought despair and took away our hope? Who brought barrenness and crushed the flowers? Who stole the music and brought the silence? What Herods lurk within our world to kill our children? Are there still those who listen for the brush of the angel wings and look for stars above some God-forsaken little stable? Are there still those who long to hear an angel song and touch a star? To kneel beside some other shepherd in the hope of catching a glimpse of eternity in a baby's smile? Are there still those who sing, peace on earth, goodwill to all? Well, if there are, then, O Lord, keep ablaze their flickering candle in this world of darkness. The peace of God that passes all understanding. It was proclaimed, behold, I bring you good news of a great joy. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Be tempted to believe once again. Let us pray. O God, help us to kneel at Bethlehem. Help us to find a glimmering hope. Help us to proclaim this season of joy, this season of peace in a world so desperately in need. We thank you for the faith you have given us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So what do I want for Christmas? I want to kneel in Bethlehem. The thick air of alleluias, the angels singing that God is born among us. In the light of a star, I want to see them come, the wise ones and the humble. I want to see them come bearing whatever they treasure to lay at the feet of Him who gives life. What do I want for Christmas? To see a stable, the whole world kneeling in thanks for a promise kept, for new life, for Jesus' nativity, and finding my own. Now may the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds together in Him this day and for all of the days to come. Go in God's peace. Amen.